Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History FM. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, what's up?
Just waiting for Zar to join us. He was ready like a half hour ago.
Yeah, I'm chatting with him now on Messenger. I'm gonna tell him to call in here in just a second. Yeah. Okay, hold on a second. Damn it, trying to type and do two things at everything at the same time. Everything. Now's a good time. Okay. Sorry, trying to talk and do two things at once. Sorry, my poor little brain just can't handle that. Other than that, how are you doing this week, Dave?
Same old, as usual. I pretty much do the same. That's why I don't really go for small talk.
So who else we got?
Everybody want to call and ask me, right? All right, get these boys. Hi. Okay, hi. How are you? I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once in a while you get the ones that have a little bit more, just okay. Well, hey, okay is good. Nothing wrong with okay. I like okay, actually. Okay gets you more than just by.
Right. And Zar should be calling in here in just a minute.
Okay. Eventually here, I see another. We've got. Well, let's go do roll call here. Let's see who everybody is. We got me. We got Darcy.
Yep.
And
loud in the background.
Oops. Wait a minute. That's not Darcy. I think that's him. Hello. Come on here. Go ahead. There we go. Hello.
Okay, there we go.
Hello.
Hey, how we doing?
I am quite fine. My name is DeVelmont.
Okay, that explains the 909. All right.
Yes. It explains the 909. Is this Steve?
Yeah, this is me. This is me.
Oh, okay. As you guys can hear, my daughter is going crazy in the background.
Get her for me.
Yeah,
Zar
don't worry.
Zar should be in the waiting room. So on the board. So he's called up.
I pushed the button. Yeah, I pushed the button.
Okay.
So I got it.
Yeah,
hello,
you there?
Hello?
Hey, there you are.
I'm somewhere.
And I see Giselle here.
Yeah, pretty much. It sounds like that's all here. Not too sure.
And hello?
I see another one there.
Okay, we got so
I need to bring out my magic. I need to break out my magic mirror here. I see myself first because it's a mirror. And everybody knows we all have reflections. So anyhow,
of course,
it looks like Zar and Darcy and Giselle, and I think that's Juicy in the background there just listening.
Okay.
You could say hi if it is.
Hello.
Hey.
And
yes, Darcy, I'm calling in tonight.
Oh, hey, Giselle, how you doing, hon?
I'm doing all right, and you?
I've been a busy week.
I got somebody to lace me up in my corset tonight. I'm doing a happy dance. I'm just glad it fits.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Happy,
we
happy
got a whole other one.
Do you not have it?
So who's the newest caller?
Hello?
Hello.
Yes,
okay.
They may not want to talk, y'all.
Okay, they don't want to talk. It just, anyways,
okay,
let's move on. Our guest tonight is Balthazar Ashanixan, who has joined us from New Orleans. You folks have probably seen him before on TV on the New Orleans, what was it, Vampires New Orleans. And then I remember that was the Taboo thing with National Geographic as well.
I remember seeing that show, and I am very well, I am very aware of Balthazar, seen him on a show, on a couple of shows actually, not only just one.
Yeah.
So hello everybody,
well,
how are you tonight?
Well, aside from being lost upon a lot of things, I am doing quite swell. If you guys do hear that, that's my daughter, like I said earlier today.
Yeah.
She's one, and she drains me. But it's well worth it.
It's a child. It's meant to.
Yeah.
Well, of course.
That's like I said,
aside from being lost, I'm all right. You know, I have, like, a lot of questions. I was actually, for a while, I was doing research. You know, I'm a sanguinarian.
Okay.
And I'm actually at a loss for words about a lot of things and, like, about where we come from. As I was speaking to a lot of elders, and one that particularly that I know personally, well, at least he's an elder to me anyways. He's been awakened longer than I have been. And I've been doing some research on our kind and how we got started. I just had the whole Lilith thing to, you know, it loses
Sorry
me
for
a lot.
Those of you who believe in the whole Lilith myth, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That I'm not one that believes.
I don't follow that line of thought.
I think we've existed since God knows when. You know, we exist and we're here. You know, I don't think anybody has an answer.
Yeah,
I mean, my great grandfather told me a story when I was a little kid. It stuck with me. It sounded true to me. Didn't sound like the whole truth.
Right.
But it rang true enough that it stuck with me. We've always been here. We were created for a particular reason. That's why most of us have this drive to be healer protectors. We were the healers and protectors that watched out through the long night in the early stages of man when they were afraid of everything that went bump in the night. There's parts of that that rang true to me. Like I said, not the whole truth, but it rang true.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I never really believed in the whole Lilith myth. I didn't really believe in that due to the fact
right.
that I was trying to find answers to who I am and what we are. I mean, that's the same belief I have, too. It's just, like I said, it just got me lost on so many things. And the fact of the matter is, like I said, one of the elders that I know personally let me know, and he gave me true advice that I take on upon great strides, is that no true vampire knows where we started in reality. You know, it is true that we've always been here, but
hell, we don't even know what makes a vampire a vampire. Come on.
We can't even. Well, as it is, the community itself.
How can we decide where we come from if we don't even know what makes us in the first place? Let's be realistic here. Everything we have is anecdotal at best and home science at worst.
Mm.
And that's just the truth. that's just the truth. No matter what people say, no matter how hard they try to push that it's a spiritual condition or a physical condition or a this condition or a that condition, we simply don't know. That's why you have such a major split in the community, because some people really, truly, truly wish it to be a... They truly wish it to be a physical condition, and then there's other people that truly wish it to be a spiritual condition. And because we don't know exactly what it is, we've got no hard data, we've got no medical or scientific clinical studies behind us, we just don't know. So it might all be true.
Yeah, like,
you know?
As well as I don't think science could disapprove us or...
I don't think anybody's really tried. I don't think there's anybody out there who's really tried to prove it or disprove it. But, you know, like, again, as I was pointing out, I mean, in the community itself, we can't even agree on a definition for the term vampire. You know?
I think we got pretty close, though, so far as an agreeance. But part of the problem with that agreeance thing is, We have to agree with everybody. It has to, like, fit everybody instead of just fitting groups. Because when we fit that little group thing...
Again, the New Orleans Vampire Association and the House of Mystic Echoes decided that we were going to use a definition of vampirism, which you could see in the thing I wrote that's called Vampirism 101 2011 edition.
Oh, okay.
It's on my Facebook.
Oh, okay.
It's in my notes section of my Facebook.
Awesome.
But we decided that we would call it a physiological condition. Because physiological conditions have the ability not only to affect a person physically, but they can also affect a person emotionally, spiritually, mentally. All of these things can happen through a physiological condition. When you get depressed, which is a physiological condition, you're not just mentally run down. Some people physically hurt.
Yes. Raising hand.
Okay. When you have insomnia, it doesn't just affect the fact that you can't sleep, so you're going crazy because you can't sleep. It affects your mentality. It affects your emotional status. These are physiological conditions. And to me, it makes more sense to say it's a physiological condition. I know spiritual vampires who go through very physical aches, pains, and other things over their vampirism. I know physical vampires who go through very spiritual withdrawals. It covers everything. Vampirism doesn't just affect one area of our lives. It affects a lot of areas of our lives.
Spiritual withdrawal is kind of weird to me. It's like, I miss going to church because spirituality and religion are so close together. It's
wrong. Spirituality and religion have nothing in common. Religion adds dogma and indoctrination. Spirituality works in harmony with you.
I don't know if I really agree with that, to be honest.
Well, I think I think both sides have a point on that one. Because spirituality and then you have dogma, that's two whole different issues as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, there is definitely some very interesting ideas popping around here, so... Anyways, I'm just going to kick back. Czar made a very good point about, you know, depression being a physical illness. Raising hands. But
if we break it down to the actual definition that I just looked up here, is the quality or state of being concerned with religion or religious matters, the quality or state of being spiritual. When we break spiritual down, it'll go into something else, but including Hulu Plus. Hey, I always want to think about TV when I'm looking up definitions. Does anybody else just want to think TV when you look up definitions? Maybe it's
not. Well, no, side note, while we're talking about religion, I wanted to ask Zara's question, his opinion on this. I know the question, the idea has been kicked around in the vampire community for years as far as whether or not vampirism should be recognized as a religion versus, say, a belief or quite a few other ideas. I just wanted to go ahead and get your take on that.
No, I don't think it should be recognized as a religion. I mean,
even
look at the religions that are out there that are quote unquote vampiric.
Right.
They all got this holier than thou. They all have this holier than thou. You can't be this unless you buy my product attitude.
Right.
And that's a crock of crap.
I'm sorry, it's a crock of crap.
And on that note, we must say this.
I am the great Cornelio. You have awakened my bunghole, and now you must pay.
Oh,
the streets will flow with the blood of the non-believer.
But the other side of the coin there is, if it is recognized as a religion, then there's also certain constitutional rights that are protected under that. I mean, I'm not saying the community doesn't have any rights.
Really?
But
really?
Yeah. You know, I'm not saying
really?
It doesn't have any
rights. Voodoo is a recognized religion in the United States, yet if anywhere outside of New Orleans I do a voodoo ceremony, say at a cemetery to honor the ancestors, I can be arrested and thrown in jail.
Yeah. Trust me, I've known the police to, you know, give me and a few other people a call. What is going on out here? Where are these folks from? New Orleans. Does that tell you all you really need to know? And they're like, oh, I'm like, let me put it this way. They might be Christian. They might go to church every Sunday, but let's put it this way. Somebody in the family has the juju. Do I need to say more? You know, they're out there leaving some food and maybe some chicken parts for their ancestors. Leave them alone. You know?
Yeah.
And once they finally
I get calls on a regular basis from investigators around the country. I actually got one from England the other day. They're asking me, you know, this is what we found in this cemetery. What's it mean? So, I get calls like that all the time. Voodoo Authentica has been called all the time for this kind of stuff.
Right.
And we even get people that look into cold cases that come up with stuff, and they're like, you know, this case was left undone. We're just kind of looking at it. We found this. What's this?
Well, hey, might as well knock it out. You know, they got to cover their bases and just say, hey, we looked into this. So, you know, even if it might not be related, you know, you're not going to know until you ask, right?
I got no problem with that.
As long
None
as you don't get the idiot calling who says, can you get my old boyfriend back for me? God.
That's not the kind of idiot calls we get.
Oh, I'm sure you get some great ones.
Oh, yeah. Can you help me abort this woman's baby so I can get with her man?
How about create a boyfriend, Zar?
Okay.
That's alchemy.
Will you start doing the DNA samples and cloning, let me know. Look me up, okay?
If you want alchemy, join one for me first.
Well, actually, yeah, I'm hearing you there. I had another question for you. I don't know if you saw this new American Horror Story Coven bit. I haven't seen it yet.
I got a DVR'd.
Okay.
Everybody else I've talked to says it was good.
Okay.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm not going to make any judgment calls until I actually get to see it.
Okay, I just didn't know if you might have been one of the consultants on it. I heard that they had consulted with some people in New Orleans, so I said, okay.
They did consult with some people in New Orleans, but it wasn't anybody from Voodoo Authentica. Although there are a lot of things that they picked up from our shop throughout the show, so.
Right. So I wonder I gotta
buy some stuff from you when I get down there, Zar.
Shoot. If I had any money, I'd be like, yo, go pick me up this, and this.
Well, seriously, I'm going to buy a voodoo curse from you.
Oh, boy. I'm not cursing anybody yet.
Although, for somebody at work, she's a bitch. I mean, she's a it. So, you know, I'll talk to you about it.
You call her a bitch. You call her a bitch. All
right.
She's a jerk. But anyway.
But, yeah. I don't know. You got any kind of magic to, like, say, open somebody's eyes to the truth and reality? I could use that one. So, I got a few people who are just kind of...
I do. I caught a hammer.
I haven't found anti-idiocy yet.
Yeah. You know,
oh, the hammer.
Help. Well...
Yeah,
no,
I'd rather a marble 2x4.
Fucking rock. You know, that's just me. You know, it's just sometimes you just have to go, look, dude, here's the real thing that's going on in the world, not this craziness that you have invented for yourself. Of course, if that was the case, we wouldn't have the Tea Party. Oops, did I just say that? But it was just...
If that
was
the case, we wouldn't have any party.
Yeah, there you go. Smartness right there. But anyways, I'm still waiting on the chat room. If you folks are goofing off tonight and you're in the chat room or you want to give us a call, 619-639-4606, or we're over at the chat room at lifeparanormal.com in case you're too scared to be on the air and you want to ask questions, we're here and we're listening. So if anybody has any questions for our guest tonight, Liz Balthazar, Shauna Song, this would be a very fun, good time to ask. So tell them a little bit more about yourself. I mentioned the shows, but I didn't get into everything else as well. So go ahead.
Wow. What an intro.
I suck. I admit.
Don't all vampires in one way, shape, or form?
Why can't
you? That's what Scott was for.
Anyway, let's see. For those who don't know me, my name is Balthazar Ashanti Sun. I'm 48 years old, been fully awakened since I was 13.
And you're old.
Wow.
Hey, my last boyfriend was 22. Don't knock it. I
could
still
land
young.
I'm kidding.
Hey, honey,
don't
you know that. Last guy I with was 27,
well,
so I can't say nothing.
That's why it's your last one. That's why it's your last one, not the current one. You have to think about this.
Mm-hmm.
If they haven't had any chance to live, you know, it's not a fair trade exactly.
Let me put it this way: I'm 36, and my last one was 18. So there you go.
Oh, you go, Darcy! You win. You get the prize. Ding, ding, ding.
That is my
all
long,
I know.
And that's
is,
I'm impressed.
All I know
impressed.
Is
Darcy.
All I
You're
know
my hero.
Is that the guys my age can't keep up with me. So anyway.
Hey,
the idea behind it is pretty simple. If we screw around with them, that's perfectly fine. They're legal, but you know, going through the trouble of actually dating somebody that's that age. I mean, I won't date anybody under 25.
We didn't
say
dating, D. We said sex, honey. It's a different thing.
Oh, I thought they said boyfriend. Boyfriends can only
No, well, Zara might be, but I'm talking about just sex. Right.
I'm talking about
a person I went to the movies and went to dinner and...
Good for you, Zara.
Walked down
you're,
the moon.
You're an officer and a gentleman, dude.
There you go.
That's a date, still.
You know. Look, I know 18-year-olds that act more mature than 48-year-olds.
That's
true. I know 48-year-olds who act like 10-year-olds. So,
true.
Yep.
True.
God knows, man. God knows.
So, you know, to me, I'm of the Aaliyah philosophy of things. Age ain't nothing but a number. But
there
there's
you
a
go.
Number I don't go
Hi.
Below.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hey,
There's a reason why, this is the same reason why people don't, you know, you don't get a cheaper insurance until you turn 25. It's kind of the same
right.
kind of concept. You haven't had a chance to live. There's things that, you know, you have in the back of your mind that you might want to do. If you get married right off the bat and you haven't slept around, but you want to sleep around, you see the parallel or the issue? And then a few other things. The same thing goes there. They want to drink. They want to party.
No, I see the same stupidity that makes it illegal for an 18-year-old to drink, but they can be drafted to kill themselves for the country.
Right.
That's what I see.
Well, I don't believe in drafting, but once they get in the once they get drafted, they can drink. Did you know that?
No, that's not,
the,
I don't
the
know.
Bases,
if they actually
that's not true.
Most of the bases you
that's
can allow.
Not true.
No, not
that's
up here.
Not
they don't.
True.
No, if you're
that
under 21,
a, that hasn't been
eight,
true. That has not been true since '86.
Yeah.
So.
But anyway, I want to hear about Czar's thing going on in
with
time.
At one point in time, it was true. Just, and we're not talking about the planet being flat either.
Right. But no, is this what we're saying, Giselle, about Czar's fangs doing what?
I want to hear Czar, what he's got going on. And by the way, I did attend his breakfast buffet last year, and I must say, Czar, not to blow smoke up your ass, you know me, I'd never do that. I enjoyed that out of everything that I did last year the most.
I loved it. It was one of the features we brought back from the original Cirque du Nuit in 2003.
Right.
And we're actually doing it again this year.
Awesome.
So we have, we even have a headquarters at the Four Point Sheraton on the 500 block of Bourbon.
Okay.
So we're going to have
a nice
way for people to come in, sit in on panels. We got panels on how to protect yourself.
Right.
We even got panels on zombies this year.
Czar, aren't you going to have your book? Or didn't I read something that you were going to have your book down there too? Available?
I'll have my new book available as well. Yes, I will.
Yep.
Ooh, tell us about the book. I want to hear about this.
Yep.
The book is a collection of some of my favorite protection spells, shielding techniques, and magical wards.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for people, I've always been a firm believer that everybody should at least have the knowledge on how to protect themselves from magical and psychic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never been oogie-boogie about the way I teach.
Okay.
I don't get into this all, you know, high and mighty, oogie-boogie, wrath of God type attitude when I'm teaching people.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see the book, the first part is just an explanation of what some of the things are that I do, why they're called the things that I call them, how they're set up, how you can set up. I even got a sample circle for those that like to work within a circle.
Right.
But it talks about how to link shielding techniques and protection spells to things like verbal commands or even hand gestures.
Uh-huh.
So, overall, it's a way to learn how to protect yourself.
Right.
From both magical and psychic abilities.
Okay. Now, if somebody wants to pick this book up, what is the title? Where can you get it?
The title is Beneath the Sheltering Oak, My Nod to the Druidic Traditions.
Awesome.
But it can be picked up at Dark Moon Press.
Okay.
Or on Amazon.com.
Awesome. Now, is that just the paperback, or are you going to be looking at doing a Kindle book, or?
I think it's just a paperback now.
Okay.
And I believe that there is a Kindle version in the works somewhere down the line.
Awesome. So, hey, it's going to be available to everybody out there if you want to go out and look at it. If it's on Amazon, there you go. Easier
way
to get it.
It's already being sold.
Awesome. So, hey, there's something to put on your Samhain or Yule list for you guys. So something else a little bit different. Are you looking at doing a book tour or anything, or just has the idea even come up?
Don't look at it. It hasn't even come up yet.
Okay. I guess if there's enough interest, you might, I take it.
If there's enough interest.
Right.
I'm already in the works for the second book.
Okay.
Which is Voodoo Through My Eyes. It's an expansion of some of the notes that I'm writing on my Facebook.
Right.
giving more details and more information.
Right.
So, as a voodoo practitioner, one of the things that you wrestle with as a voodoo practitioner on What to Write is how much information should I actually put out there?
Right. Because it's always been a rather closed, quiet tradition that doesn't reveal its secrets.
Well, it's not that it doesn't reveal its secrets. It's that it gets, like any other tradition, it gets persecuted for its secrets.
Right.
And because it gets persecuted for its secrets, a lot of things change.
Right.
Because
at one point in time, voodoo was illegal in New Orleans. This was back,
1800s. At one point in time.
Yeah.
At one point in time, it was punishable by death.
Oh, wow. Because I knew they could throw you in jail for it. I knew that, read some different accounts and whatnot. But something else about they were back when they would have the Sundays in Congo Square, something about the police had orders to keep Marie Laveau from going out there. And, yeah, good luck at that.
And somehow she always managed to slip right by them.
Well, something about she was going down there once, a policeman tried to stop her. Next thing you know, he starts going on all fours and barking like a dog. So, and after that,
Lord,
she just walked right on in.
I do that after a while, not myself.
Yeah, well, hey, you drink enough, maybe.
True, it can happen, Dorothy.
My bunghole speaks loud.
We won't even finish that, Dorothy.
Hey.
I'm just going to step away from that.
I can't knock it. You know, I've been
we
out on tour this
year.
Right
now,
they pull that shit.
For this year, okay. Cirque du Nuit has, as our musical spectacular guests, we actually have Urn coming down.
Wow.
So.
Now that sounds cool.
We're all psyched about that one.
Yeah, definitely.
We also have a surprise guest DJ.
Oh.
So.
Not revealing who it is.
Nope.
This could be fun.
We also have local artists.
Right.
Shane Paul. He's going to be warming everybody up, getting everybody ready for the night.
Now, what is this? I heard something about it being at a wax museum or something this year. Or am I wrong?
No.
I might be at another event.
You're
okay, I'm thinking, I'm sorry. I was thinking
Gala.
Another event. Okay, sorry. I was thinking another event. So, but
yeah.
It sounds like a fun part.
That's okay. But whatever event you come to attend in New Orleans, enjoy. Walk around like you own the place. Everybody thinks you live there. They don't screw with you. Walk around like a tourist. They're going to screw
with
you.
You're going to get fucked with. Yep.
So, when you come in, walk around like you own the place. Walk around like you live here. Even if you don't know where the hell you're going, walk around like you live here.
Right.
That would be easy for me because I'm a man and I don't ask directions.
In other words, you get lost a lot.
Actually, I make sure I have maps and things like that, so I don't get lost really at all. And once I've been somewhere, I'm like a taxi driver, right? If I drop you off at your house, I know where you live, just like that. I can go back there. I can recreate the event, no matter what. It's one of those little quirky things. I have like a weird selective memory.
Oh, man.
But let's see. What else we got going on? Oh, yeah. Don't forget, we got the wine tasting the Thursday before the weekend.
Oh, awesome.
We got a wine tasting meet and greet at Pirate's Alley.
Ooh. Now that's
check
fun.
It out.
Yeah.
Check
that,
it out.
Yeah, especially since Pirate's Alley, good place. Yeah, I miss the old days of walking around there. But, you know, not too many places you want to go to after dark, but, you know, that's one of the few you can actually get away with.
Are you kidding? I walk everywhere.
Yeah, well, how many people are really going to try to jump you? You'd be surprised. It is New Orleans.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny. I'm a 6'1" gay man. I walk to my house. There's a whole group of young men, all of them African-American. They're walking down the street, and you can hear them talking about wanting to jump somebody. And when they look up and they see me, the first thing out of their mouth is, "Shit, the voodoo man!" And they run.
Yep. Don't want to fuck with you. Don't want to get hit.
You know, I do have a little bit of a reputation, and I enjoy it.
Hey, don't want to get hexed. No, it's just we're having more fun. I need to take my roommate down there because he's still got family, not in New Orleans itself, but in Louisiana. And it's just we're sitting there finding out some things about when he was a kid. His meemaw used to watch him a lot. Well, anyway, he strides in from the next room, his Nana. And apparently, Nana had the voodoo, had the juju. And apparently it was something about, we were trying to figure out why, if we take him on a ghost hunt or anything, the ghosts say, uh-uh, and leave. And we're like, damn it, we can't take you with us anywhere, can we? And so then we found out why.
Yeah, I wish
Nana,
I had his problem.
Nana basically made a deal and said, no, ghosts leave this little boy alone. And now that he's grown, he's like, man, this can get to be kind of annoying when I'm trying to work. I'm like, But at the same time, the really nasty
ones don't want to come. Well, if she's no longer alive, he'd have to do something ancestral and tell her it needs to be broke.
Well, at the same time, he's kind of amused with it at this time, so he's not trying to get rid of it just thus far, but I think he's kind of helped keep the nastier things out of my house. So I'm not trying to bother him too much. Because when people bring things to my house, which has happened on more than one occasion, I'm like, damn it, I don't want to have to get mad. And
happens to a lot of us on more than one occasion.
Especially when we just got mad and just, damn it, you get the hell out of my house, and it left. It's like, I think you've pissed her off. So whatever it was, left. Just said, no, she pissed off woman. No. Whoops,
yeah.
It was one of those instances of, I called up my friend, the next time you drag something in my house will be the last time you come to my house. So.
Some people don't know.
He was crashing at a place that, it was an old theater that they had turned into a wax museum, and he was crashing in the back of the place. It turns out the old theater was very, very haunted. And, you know, he kind of knew it was, but he didn't realize he kind of had something that attached itself to him. So I was just kind of like, really? No, not messing with my house anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, if they don't know, they don't know.
Yeah, I put some of those stipulations on some of the people that come to visit me.
Yeah. Because
Lord knows.
Yeah.
These ones actually know they're carrying stuff around.
It's bad enough if one of my cats looks at you, hisses, and runs back in the house. Because he's smart enough to know, this brings trouble. And this cat treats everyone. But we have a rule. If he hisses at you and runs, no, you're getting saged before you walk in the house. But... No, I'm trying to think of... Nope, nobody else is asking any questions. Sorry, I was looking online for something else. Anyways, go ahead.
I've got a friend. She doesn't like to talk on the radio, but she texts me and she's listening. I was asked to ask you what your opinion is on what would make a good blood donor.
AB positive, no smoker.
Stop. Oh, yeah, that's true.
AB positive,
no smoker. She's wanting to donate, and I tried to get her to ask you herself. I told her you was really skinny. You wasn't that scary, but, you know, she wanted me to ask you anyway.
That's okay.
I told her as long as she didn't mention the blood bond, she'd be okay.
For me, the thing that makes
that makes a good donor is different than for other people that make a good donor.
I think she's just wanting advice how to get in, Zara. Just give her some tips, maybe.
I can, you know, this is actually something here. I've got a bit of experience with this, but we'll say this. This is a simple thing of what is not a good donor.
There you go.
This song is for those donors that out there that are not good donors.
I'm looking down the hole, you're looking up at me. You're cold and tired, that is easy to see. So are the ropes you wave on the line. Your membrane will be soft and smooth, and your heart will be mine. It rubs the lotion on its skin, or is it against the hose again?
You're my vampire. I'm keeping you in a cage, and you're going to be mine.
Yeah.
Well,
God knows. Some people are looking into that.
For me, in all honesty, I've had mostly straight guys as donors, which is kind of funny, me being a gay man, and they're coming to a gay vampire to get blood sucked out of them, and then they go home and screw their girlfriend.
Yeah, we have to
okay.
Right.
Well, I'm not even going to say nothing. I'm being good.
Kind of funny. To me, it's always seemed kind of funny when that happens. So,
but there's a logic to it, though.
If that's what they want.
Okay.
But
there's
for each of my donors, they're tested. Before they even are allowed that kind of connection with me, they're tested at least three times. If I got a few little quirky feelings, it might be more than that. I'm big on getting people tested. I really am. Because, one, if they're dedicated enough to go through these three times of testing, you know they're going to be dedicated enough to make sure that you're all right. But you also know that they're also dedicated enough to make sure that they're all right in the process.
There you go.
Now, when you say getting tested, you are talking blood tests.
I'm talking blood tests.
Because we have to clarify that for some of the younger folks who don't know.
It's a wise thing to think about being tested and having the person that you're going to feed off of be tested, just because.
It's make them more comfortable. To make them more comfortable when they go down and get their test, I go down and get my test.
Right.
I've been tested so many times, the testing facility knows me by name.
Right.
Shit, I'd have to get it done every year. Hey, Zara, I told him because I work in the hospital, I got more shots than the dog.
Between last year and then, going through cancer the whole nine yards, I've been stuck so many times in the last year with needles, I might as well be a pincushion. So I'm just like, go ahead, here you go. I'm kind of used to this now. So, they've had to test me so many times for this, that, and the other.
It's really funny. It's really funny when they walk in and I'm already prepped myself.
Right.
they still look at me like, damn. In all sincerity, I will go down there and get tested with them because I want them to know that if they're going to dedicate themselves to me for this purpose, I'm definitely going to back them all the way, which means if they go get tested, I go get tested. If they think something's wrong in any way, shape, or form, I'll go get tested. Here I am. And look, I'm not saying this to brag. I'm not saying this to for any other reason except for that it's the truth.
Right.
I am an openly gay ex-prostitute. I was a whore.
Wow.
From the time I was 13 until the time I was 18, I was selling myself. That's how I paid my bills.
Wow.
So, you know, like I said, I'm not bragging. It's not something I'm ashamed of because it made me it's part of what made me who I am today.
Right.
It's part of what made me the person. I know what goes on the streets.
Right.
I'm one of those people who's been there.
Right.
This is why I work so hard for this charity. This is why I work so hard we're really pushing hard to get a homeless shelter so we can get some of these kids off the street. We even preempted some of the stuff, and we have our own GED program working now.
Right.
You know, people like to think that vampires don't give a shit about anybody else but themselves. But I work with a whole crew of vampires in the Nova Council that actually gives a shit about the people around us.
Right.
So.
Well, you got to live, you know, you're a very small chunk of a very big community. And it's, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, with the vampire community, whether we like it or not, we have to live in with the rest of the real world. And real world problems that we're not above it because it's going to affect us as well, you know. And I can't even tell you how many people I've run into in this community who've been homeless in the past or are homeless now, or things like that. So we can't just
I've done the whole couch hop thing. I really have, you know. And if we get our homeless shelter up and running, we're willing to sit there and teach other communities how to do this.
Right.
It's not like we're trying to do some uber secret thing.
Right.
We are actually trying to do something. You know, I've always said New Orleans wasn't the first to reach out and do something to help others. We aren't. The only reason we're noted for it is because of stupid little TV shows that I've been on where I've got to talk about it.
Right.
That's the only reason we're noted for it. We weren't the first.
I mean, you get the press for it.
And we're not going to be the last.
Right. And it's good that you do get the press for it.
We got more and more communities. Austin, for example, that's doing just as many charitable works. We got vampires in New York that are doing just as many charitable works. We got vampires in Atlanta, just as many charitable works. We got vampires all over. There's people in the Portland community that are doing stuff. There are people, you know, all around this country, we got vampires finally sitting there going, you know what? We got all this freaking spare time.
Right.
Or maybe we don't have all this spare time, but we're still going to try something.
Right. And I know there's people up here in this community, even though we haven't really been able to get together and try to organize something, a lot of our members will go out and volunteer, like on Thanksgiving and Christmas over at some of the soup kitchens and things like that, and will still go and volunteer their time or help out with, like, Toys for Tots or some other fundraisers and whatnot to try to help people out, even though we just haven't been able to get anything organized just because we haven't had the money to do it. But, hey, people do go out and do it, folks, believe it or not. So, you know, got to give them at least a
watch. People in this community go out and do it.
Oh, yeah.
And we do it simply because we want to. There's nothing we're looking to gain from it. Trust me, if I was looking to gain fame, it'd be a shit ton of other things I'd be trying to do.
Right. And, I mean,
and that's
I've gone
just
out
the truth.
I've gone out and worked with some of the groups here because – I don't know about you. At least you haven't had some of the problems down there, I guess, with the police trying to arrest people for feeding the homeless. I don't know if you've had that problem or not. We've had it up here, at least in some cities.
They drive them from place to place.
Yeah,
but,
and they've tried to.
You know,
I've
you'll be in
a
place.
With a couple other
groups
but I've
up been here. Very visible. I've been very lucky because I've been very visible about what I'm doing, and I've even been on film doing what I've been doing. So, for the most part, we pretty much left alone out in Jackson Square. We actually had one of the Monsignors come out of the church and bless
right.
Easter Sunday's food.
Wow.
You know,
all
it
right.
made all the people that were in line feel a lot better.
Right.
Because, you know, the church actually acknowledged that these people are doing good. But at the
right.
same time, it made me feel better to know that, you know, this church
right.
that's sitting over here actually pays attention to the fact that we're out here doing something good.
Right. And well, the one thing we had problems with up here a while back was I had gone out with a couple of the other church groups. There was a lady here who has been pretty instrumental in trying to help out the homeless in this area. And at one point we had gone out to feed and the cops were basically threatening to arrest us. And so we went back the next Sunday with a bunch more church members and the cops came out again. And I just said, well, sir, if you're going to arrest her, you're pretty much going to have to arrest at least two or three churches worth of people who are out here helping the homeless. So if you want to go on camera being assholes, hey, knock yourselves out. So they called in a supervisor and the supervisor's like, nah, fuck it, leave them alone. You know, they knew the news cameras
so the
were there and had them on camera.
The problem
you know?
Is, all right, there are 33 million empty homes in the United States.
Yep.
33 million empty homes. At last quote-unquote count, there was only 18 million homeless people.
Right.
And now, these aren't the people that have decided to give up on society and say, fuck the world, and just grab a bag and walk. You know, those ones that smell like they've been on a freight train for 250 years, have looked like they've never taken a bath in their lifetime. These aren't these people. These are families who've lost their homes, who've lost their jobs, who trying
right.
to make it so that their kids at least have a frickin' meal.
Right. And I mean, it's sad if you get sick.
Million.
Next thing you know.
But you know what? The government doesn't want to acknowledge it.
No,
not
of course
on
not.
The local level, not on the state level, not on the federal level. They're
right.
so busy panty wasting around about stupid stuff.
Right.
Obamacare. Just get the fuck together and give us a goddamn health care that works for everybody and leave it at that.
Right.
Why do you got to fight about everything? You know?
Yeah.
But at the same time, they would rather do this stupid stuff, shut down the government.
Right.
Instead of face the ideal that there are 18 million Americans who are homeless, and a good third of that is children.
Yeah. Oh, I love the argument now of, oh, we got to shut down food stamps because people won't work. I'm like, guess what? I know plenty of people on food stamps who do work. It's because jobs aren't, you know, the wages are just
there
not keeping up with the inflation.
Military families. There were
yeah.
5,000 military families that are on food stamps.
Yep. And it's like you're going to sit here and tell me that, you know, people aren't, you know, sitting here and saying, you know, oh, we're going to shut all that down. You know, it's kids who are dependent on that, elderly, people who are sick, you know, cancer patients. You're going to sit there and tell me that you're going to sit there and shut down their way of eating. And don't get me wrong, folks. These folks are not living high on the hog. You know, I've been on food stamps. Let me tell you, it wasn't the best, and I wasn't living high on the hog, but, hey, it was better than nothing. And, you know, it was a long time ago, but, you know,
scary thought the scary thought is that Michelle Obama is trying to make it illegal to buy non-healthy foods. But guess what, woman? I don't care if you're the first lady. You try buying only healthy foods
on food
stamps
and
see how little, see how little you come with.
Yeah, you
can't
do it, man. It's just, it costs
homeless
so much.
Homeless people, they need organic food. They have to spend all their money on one grape because, you know, it's got to be illegal. I don't get that either. It doesn't
yeah,
make any sense.
Good luck.
If they
want to
do it, then just give them the government cheese.
I would love so much to be able to afford, you know, I've gotten so many lectures from people now about going vegetarian and going organic, and I'm like, yeah, are you going to pay my grocery bill? No.
Amen, that's true.
You know, if you ain't paying for my groceries, then, you know, that's all I got to say about that.
I'm looking at moving from where I live to a little bit bigger place with a little bit of a bigger yard so that I can do things like have a garden just to offset, because I'm always taking people off the street.
Right.
I got 11 people living with me now that I've taken off the street.
Ugh, I couldn't do that.
I mean, my landlord, even though he's a goofy bastard, he's a pretty good guy for allowing me to do this.
He could hit you with the grandma clause. That's the sad part about it. They can put that in your contract where you have so many people or whatever. They start charging you. When I lived in L.A., I went and I found a place that was real cheap. It was like, I think it was like only $625 at the time for a duplex. They charged you extra if you wanted to have a garage. And then when I said, oh yeah, my girlfriend's coming with me. What happens? I got, you know, a whole other charge for another person. Oh, you got a dog now? That's another $35. Now, they want to say that Jewish people are cheap and whatever else. Well, these weren't Jewish people. These were Germans. I think all the negative aspect that anybody tried to ascribe, like being anti-Semitic, it was really, you know, these people that people were mistaking for them. It was just terrible. And they were all in my business, too. Every friggin' time. They were always there. I'm like, what kind of landlord, you know? You want the people to live here and pay the rent that it's not worth it? You know, and you're going to be there? Want to come in my house all the time? Or, you know, if you're fixing something, that's cool. You want me to, I tell you, hey, I can replace the carpet? You can replace the carpet, but they ain't going to give you nothing.
Right.
After Hurricane Katrina, before Hurricane Katrina, I was living in a place, it was 2 bedrooms, $600 a month.
Oh, nice.
Okay. $600 a month.
Yeah, really?
Two bedrooms, one bath, a nice kitchen, and a living room, dining room area. Okay?
Oh, wow.
Two. All right. They raised the rent to $1,500.
Damn, bro, that's worth your math.
Yeah, I gotta say, stop for a second. Who's eating on this freaking phone, folks? Because that's getting a little annoying.
Not me.
To hear you. Okay, thank
it's
you.
It's not me.
So, okay, sorry about that.
Yeah. That sounded like somebody was, like, eating something, like...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Whoever's eating, dude, not on you're on the phone with us, guys. Sorry, that's just really
not
annoying.
Too.
Yeah. Let me know which one you are so I can mute you then. Or otherwise I'll start pushing buttons until I find you.
We'll just mute. So, you know. But anyways, sorry,
but
Zara. I didn't mean to interrupt.
$1,500, so I lost my place. I couldn't afford it by myself.
Right.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, that's just crazy.
You know, but nobody thinks about this. Nobody. There is not a local government, a state government, or anything that thinks about this. In a time of disaster, the first thing they do is raise rent. If places have been destroyed, the first things the landlords do is raise rent.
Right.
They start bilking the people who have survived disasters.
Right.
Guaranteed, where the tornadoes just went through.
Right.
Watch. Rent is going to go up.
Of course.
Because no government around sits there and says, you know what, we're putting a rent hold. All rents will stay the same.
Unfortunately, they
should.
Yeah. The most lip service all the politicians were given.
I say unfortunately because these stupid-ass landlords should know. Your people just went through a damn disaster. and you're going to raise the rent so you can get somebody else in?
Nope, they don't care.
They're going to get somebody else because they know it's, you know, supply and demand. They know they can raise the rent and get somebody else in there who could pay twice as much or more, and so they want to cash out on it. So I'm like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised with a rent hold, but the minute you do it, somebody's going to start screaming socialism, communism, blah, 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 all that shit. But at the same time, as much lip service as the politicians were giving after Katrina about getting people to come back and returning home
don't even
and how,
start there.
You know, they fucked that one up horribly.
We've been forgotten about. We honestly have.
Yes, you have. And
everybody,
I've just,
and now the road home is trying to reclaim homes.
Yes.
From people. The Road Home program is demanding their money back from people or reclaiming their homes.
Yeah.
This was supposed to be government grants. This is supposed to be government grants to help people rebuild and reestablish their lives. Free money.
Right.
Not this exuberant loan.
Right. And it's, you know, let's face it. Let's be honest about what they really wanted to do. They took a look at the news footage and said, fuck them. It's majority poor and black. We don't give a fuck about them. And that's the truth. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say it. That's just, you know, a lot of people in Washington were like, well, they don't vote for us, so why should we care? You know? And they said, well, let's get people down there with money and everything else. That's exactly what they're doing. Is, hey, let's clear out the blight, let's rebuild, you know, $300,000 condos that nobody can afford anyway. You know?
Well, it's like when they redid the projects down here. They've been rebuilding the projects.
Right.
Okay? One of the projects that they rebuilt, they beautiful homes. I'll give them credit. Beautiful homes. But now there's two-thirds less housing in that area.
Right. That's
because
what I've heard
about. Because they expanded
about.
The size of the homes, and it was to be done as a control method. Nothing more, nothing less. We're going to control the amount of poor people that can live in this area now.
Well, at the same time, what's the majority economy in New Orleans, if not a tourism economy? You're going to have your seasons, and it's going to be people who are getting paid minimum wage. Please explain to me how somebody who's making minimum wage is going to afford $1,500 on rent. Please, you know, I'll wait.
Damn.
You know, I'll wait. I
firmly believe, like my Uncle Chris says, that once they leave office, they should be given a minimum wage job and be forced to live on minimum wage for at least 3 years. So that they can see what everybody else has to go through.
Well, hell, do it before they go into office. Then maybe they'll get a hint. But then, and then I hear this, that Landrieu's going after your go-cups down there now.
Let him try.
I heard about that. I was like, are you fucking nuts, dude?
It wasn't Landrieu. It was a friend of Landrieu.
Oh, okay.
It was a friend of Landrieu's. You know, see, here's how Landrieu works, and this is the honest truth. Mayor Landrieu will get one of his friends to spark up these new ideals. So he can say, oh, but I didn't do it.
Yeah, one of my buddies did. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So let's face it, it was Landrieu. Okay. But so I heard they were talking about going after the go-cups, and I'm like, I hope you realize you're shooting yourself in the foot, even with the tourists, because that's one of the reasons the tourists go there, is get your cup and go about your business, and you don't have anybody giving you shit as long as you're not acting a fool. You know, you want to get to be a drunk.
And as long as it's not a glass container. That was the big thing, you know. So long as it's not a glass container, you can walk around with it.
Yep.
In other words, as long as it's not a weapon, it's all good. It's okay.
Pretty much. You know, and
pretty much.
Given I just remember when Mardi Gras, it's just like, give me the big, you know, jumbo margarita and we're going to have a good night. So as long as you have that to flip to buddies, hey, man, life is good. You know, let me walk around and have this and not act too stupid. And, you know, as long as you're kind of blending in with everyone else as far as the stupid activity goes, keep in mind this is Mardi Gras, you know. So, just, you know, it's one of those. Don't act too dumb.
To keep guys from going to jail, a company came up with this thing called the Sneaky Leak.
I heard of a condom catheter.
Oh, my God.
It's just a condom catheter. You walk around, you can drink all night long, just kind of twist your ankle a little bit and watch the river run into the water.
Between all the puke and everything else that's laying in the gutter, you ain't gonna notice.
Oh man!
I'll tell women, number one thing about Mardi Gras: do not wear your nice pair of heels out there. Trust me. Don't wear heels out.
Period.
Yeah.
There you go.
The past 4 weeks, I've watched somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 odd women twist their ankles on the streets around Bourbon because of just the way everything is set up.
Right.
High heels is not a real good thing, ladies.
Yeah. It's a good thing I'm tall. My boots don't.
Do what?
So.
Yeah, man, that's crazy.
You know what, Zara? I may actually look you in the eyeball this year with those heels.
But no, there's something else you got to do for me when you go down there, Giselle.
What?
Go check out House of Shock for me if they're still running.
I'll do that.
Oh, they're still running. I'll be glad to.
They are still running.
Good, because I know for a while there was groups trying to shut them down and shit, and I was like, no, fuck that. Let them run. It looks like fun to me. So, I've worked a few haunts in the past.
I'm ready to go. I've been doing my yoga, girl. I can hang.
Well, I haven't said, go ahead.
And for those people that are curious with House of Shock, www.houseofshock.com.
Yeah.
I'll post the link right. That's where all that noise is coming from right now in the background, all the screaming. Hear it?
Yeah, because from what I've heard, that's like the bastard child of all haunts in America. So I'm like, sounds like fun to me.
Hey, Darcy, and I will text you and let you know how it goes, girl. But my only question is, are you going to send bail money?
VIP tickets for haunted house. Why are there VIP tickets for a haunted house? Is this just another way to say, hey, let's get some more money out of these tourists?
VIP
at House of Shock gets special treatment, guys.
What kinds are?
There's all kinds of things that they offer for the VIPs. So
all I know is that there's a bar at the end of the thing.
Hey, Zara,
so like,
I can finally say you've been...
Any old haunted house that has a bar at the end of it, okay, let's talk.
It's all right with me, yeah.
Even some of our theaters now have a bar.
There you go. That's what's good about New Orleans.
New Orleans, they don't care. Out here, man, we have Anheuser-Busch. Well, it's not Anheuser-Busch anymore. Now it's InBev. But we got Busch Gardens over here running Howl-O-Scream. And now you can actually buy beer throughout the park. You just can't carry it with you into the haunts and stuff. So me and my friend years back, we'd sit there and get the big aluminum bottles or whatever, chug our thing, throw it out, and then have a field day going through the haunts. And just be like, dude, just whatever you do, don't decide to puke on any of the actors.
Oh, man.
Because, I'm pretty sure they weren't allowed to have the beers when I worked there, but now because they changed it, now you can go through the whole park with the alcohol. And I'm sitting there going, man, I feel sorry for the performers now because, there's going to be that one idiot who's just, drank the beer too quick and next thing moment.
And that's disgusting. A drunk puke is the worst thing in the world.
Especially since some of these haunt actors are good. I had one guy, Jack the Ripper, one year sneak up on me and, slam right into a wall. And I'd had a couple of drinks. I'd just start laughing so hard I fell into one. I didn't throw up. I was just laughing so hard I fell into the guy. And he's like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm great. I'm sorry. You okay? He's like, yeah. He just picked me up, keep going. So I'm like, yeah, okay. Drinking before a haunt, bad idea. drinking after horn. Better idea. So,
knowing me, it'll be drinking during haunt.
Yeah, drinking during haunt, maybe not so bright. But and then there was that other one, the other haunt I'm thinking of where they have it in an actual, it used to be the old morgue. I don't know if that one's
the haunted mortuary on Canal.
Yeah, I heard they had checked that one out, and they actually do have some interesting haunting activity going on there, that aside from the actual haunt, so that kind of seems rather amusing.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it is rather amusing when you're walking through and you see somebody actually pass through a wall. Yeah, it does get kind of amusing.
Oh, Czar. They better not nobody. Only person better pass through a wall while I'm down here is because I throw them through it. Ugh. No, no ghosties. No ghosties.
No,
you can take me, but you will never take my bunghole. For I am the great cornholio. I have no bunghole.
Stop.
No, I can't say anything. I've seen, you know, nice little things go walking through the wall, and I go, okay.
See, I don't like that, Darcy. I've had one come in, but no, I don't even like that.
It doesn't bother me so much as long as I don't try
it
to take me and throw me. You know, I've had friends get picked up and thrown by ghosts, and I'm going, okay, that did not work out the way we thought it would. Sorry if I had the Pete Bakeman idea of, okay, that didn't work so well, all right, what do we do now?
They say on their side of the wall, and I'll stay on my side. That's the way I feel about it. You stay over there, and I'll stay here. You know, that's what amazes me. You know, you got to take the good with the bad, and you got all these people that dabble in stuff they don't realize. And, you know, I try to tell them one of these days you better be careful. You might get a hold of something you might not can get rid of.
Oh, God. How many times have we had to go to something because some idiot decides, hey, let me pull out a Ouija board and see if I can, you know, do something with
this? Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
This is what not to say that that's going to happen every time, but you got right up with some kids who don't know what they're doing.
There you go.
And decide, hey, I'm going to go play around and call a demon. Yeah, okay, you're an idiot. You know, and it's just like, yeah, we decided to play around with this.
And then we call Czar and go, oh my God, Czar, I can't get rid of this fucker. Will you help me?
That's just when I look at him, the kid slap the kid and go, okay, this is how we clean up said mess, and you're going to clean up to your own mess.
There you go.
And the easiest way to clean that mess is not even to believe it in the first place.
There you go.
You ignore it. You ignore it. It doesn't exist. You know, you might not even notice it because you're ignoring it.
Obviously,
well,
you haven't bumped into some of the demons I have.
Yeah. It's like, ignoring... It's kind of hard to ignore.
A lot of people get bothered by things that doesn't seem to affect me. I've been in situations where it's just like, okay, I had everybody saying I have Enterprise shields because everybody else was all freaked out about something or another in the Coven room and whatnot and at bat flight. And then they came back and I'm like, I'm not even bothered. I'm not even noticing anything. Everybody else is freaking out for no reason in my view. And they're like, oh, no, well, that's because D's got Enterprise shields.
Oh, good Lord.
I don't shield, so I don't have a problem with it.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's just you. Because personally, it's one of those, you get a book thrown at your head by something, and then I have to look around and go, hey, you know what? I haven't been rude to you, so don't be rude to me and start throwing shit at my head. Thank you very much. And then no more problems the rest of the night. I can't even remember who it was. I was in some old house in Richmond, and this house dates back to, like, right after the Civil War. A guy who had died in there was a college professor over at VCU, and as I'm going through there, he had his little room that was nothing but books. It was a whole library. I go past the room, and the rocking chair is rocking on its own, and I'm going, okay, how we doing here, sir? And I had walked past the room. I go past again, and a book gets thrown at my head and barely misses me. And I looked down at the book, and it was something on psychology or something, and I just said, look, I'd appreciate it if you didn't throw any books at my head. I haven't been rude to you, so please don't be rude to me. no more problems from them the rest of the night. You just had to say, look, let's not be rude here. You want attention, okay, we'll talk. But, you know, the throwing book shit just flew over the line. You know? And rocking chair was going on its own for a hot minute, and then all of a sudden after I start saying something, it stopped. And I'm going, okay, now I have to go in here and check out this shit and make sure there's no wires or shit in here. No, nothing in here. Okay, that's just weird. The floor is even, you know, all right, fuck it. It just likes the rocking chair. Okay. Just walk out of the room and leave him alone. Just let him read his book or whatever he's doing and just let him be. And trying to explain to the homeowner, it's like, well, I don't think you're really going to get rid of him, but as long as you're polite to him and leave him alone, he's not going to bother you. She didn't want to hear that. So I just kind of said, well, what am I going to do to get rid of this person?
A lot of the living forget that they are the intruder. The spirit was there long before them.
Right. And so I was just kind of going, well, I just kind of looked and went, well, if you want, somebody do the blessing of the house, or you can have a priest come in here and do an exorcism if you want. But, you know, I think if you leave him alone, he'll leave you alone. Fair enough. But, you know, you get some people who just get freaked out about the idea.
Yep.
Personally, I live in Williamsburg, Virginia. We got plenty of ghosts out here that people don't want to acknowledge. I just kind of go, okay, they're here, I'm here. Live and let live kind of deal. As far as I'm concerned, it's just another person walking up the street. You know? And then New Orleans, when I went down there, I said, man, this is Williamsburg times 10 when it comes to ghosts.
No, you got to remember 12 major outbreaks of diseases, 2 major fires,
right.
4 major hurricanes. Yeah, we've had our share of death.
Yeah, and it's the one thing that got me was the first Mardi Gras I went to, and I start seeing people walking up the street and then walking in through doors that are shut. I'm going, wait, did anybody else see that? I guess not. Okay. And just, I chalked it up to me having one drink too many, and then one of my friends said, nah, I saw it too. I just didn't want to think about it. Just kind of went, yeah, okay, move on, party on. So
it's like,
nobody else.
It's like the new movie, It's the End, where they walk in and they say, and Jay Burnell or whatever says, man, there was like blue light and people were like floating through the ceiling and everything like that. And Rogan says, I don't know what he's talking about. I didn't see any of that shit.
Hey, you know, it kind of got me the first couple of times and I was like, okay, well,
there's
got to
be a flash can in every crowd.
I just kind of went, okay, welcome to New Orleans. People walk through doors that are closed. All right, we can go on from here. It's just, you know, it was just one of those, all right, that was a little freaky baseline bit. All right, that just seems to be normal here. Keep on trucking. So,
yeah.
didn't want to
like
have a
where
out.
I work, where I work at Voodoo Authentica, the area around it was a parochial school for boys and girls. There was more than 400 children that were burnt alive in one of the fires.
Oh, my God.
So my gift, when I allow it to actually open up all the way, is I see them as they die.
Oh, God.
So I get to see all the nice, you know, pussy bubbles and
oh, God, if I have a nightmare tonight,
whatever.
God.
Yeah, that was just, that's one thing I noticed when I went in there, because the first time I had gone to the shop was back in 2002, I think, 2001, somewhere in there. And going to the front, everybody's really nice. I went and visited Marie Laveau earlier, so I had my rum the whole nine yards. And like, yeah, you come in the back, the spirits, so they love rum. So I go in the back, I'm like, whoa, okay, sacred space. At least get your heads halfway straight and, you know, buy at least a couple of things.
Because,
you know, once you got back there, boom, head straight, everything's fine, you know. And there's still, I need to get back down there because there's still a few more things I wanted to buy, even though I know I could do it online. But, you know, it's still, it's one of those things of you go into a shop like that, that's something you want to pick out for yourself. And I still got my nice you know, he was about $60 back in the day, but one of those nice Baron Zombie dolls is still sitting on his own altar. So he's been with
That's
me through
papa.
Quite a few travels. So
That's
and I sat there. Yeah, I went through quite a few, you know, different places with him, and man, you don't know how many times people tried to steal him, and he always wound up back with me, because whoever tried to steal him would get freaked out. And they're just like, yo, never mind, here, D, have this thing back, I'm sorry I tried to steal it from you. I'm like, yeah, you fucking know better. So, just like, no, he's here for a reason. If he wants to go, he'll leave, he'll find a way. But you try to steal him, it's not going to go over very well. And the last girl who tried to steal him wound up having a really bad car accident, and a couple of her animals died. And
well,
I was like,
hey, Liz. One thing about forgetting spirits that a lot of people don't know, even though they'll take something from you, if anybody comes to take something from you while they're in your space, they don't like that. They consider it stealing from
Yeah.
So,
he got mad that somebody took him, you know, out of my stuff, and I was like, okay. And he wound up back on his shelf, and he seems to be happy here. I got him standing next to my Santa Marta statue, and he seems to be okay with that. So no complaints there. You know, put him up there. Got Santa Marta, him, and Isis on one shelf, and he seems to be very happy with that. So,
cool.
You know, if it works, right? But
if it works.
You know, people get so weirded out because they see him and they're not really sure what it is up here in Virginia. You know, don't get too much of the voodoo or hoodoo, but if you do, you get a little tiny bit of it here and there. But it's definitely a lot different up here than what it is down in NOLA, especially once you get up towards the mountains. You got a lot of folks, know a little bit thing or two here. But like I said, it's going to be very different up here from what it is down there. You know, different plants, different herbs, different, just different practices. But still, in essence, it's the same thing in a lot of ways. It's just...
My godmother says, one God, many faces.
Yep. That's a long way to look at it.
When she's saying that, she's not necessarily closing down the ideal that there are deities. She's closing down the ideal that just because it's an offshoot of the ATRs doesn't make it any less valid than the rest of the offshoots of the ATRs.
Right.
For those who don't know, ATR, African traditional religion.
Right. And let's face it, you go back through history, Old Divide Gorge. Eventually, we all have roots back in Africa. So... And I love having a field day discussing that with certain people. It's like, hey, guess what? Sooner or later, we all go back to Africa, dude. So, whether you throw in the Egyptian traditions or, Celtic tradition or whatever else, it all had to come from somewhere. So, oh, man. But I'm sorry, you guys got all quiet there. I was about to say, I know Dee's back there somewhere.
Hello. I think that you're talking about scary stuff, Darcy, and I'm scared and I got my head under the cover.
I don't want to overtake it too much because I know you guys definitely got stuff you want to say. So,
one of my big things that I'm trying to get across to everyone, it doesn't matter what you come down here to New Orleans for. Come down, have fun. Enjoy. Meet the people. Listen to the music. Eat the food.
Eat the food. Yes.
Trust me. Just come down and have a good time. And it doesn't matter whether you're coming to the Winch's Bar or Endless Nights or certain
events.
Come down, have fun. You know, granted, it's what I'm doing is for a charity. You know, we're trying to build our own homeless shelter. And the homeless shelter, even though it's going to be accepting of everybody, is primarily for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and pagan peoples. It's going to be a safe space for all of them to meet, including the vampire community.
Right. But the door's going to be open to everyone if they need
help. The door's going to be open to everyone. As long as you walk in with respect, you'll be treated with respect.
Right.
the moment you walk in like we owe you some shit might be the last moment
there
you walk
you
out.
There you go, Star.
Right. Definitely.
You know, we're doing this out of the kindness of our heart, not because we think we owe you damn thing.
Right.
And that's the truth. I think
that's
too many people forget that, you know, I'm half Jew, half Cherokee.
Right.
You want to get into
that's
this whole slavery
mix,
thing? You want to get into this whole slavery thing with me? Oh, let's look at slavery for a while. Just one of the time spent in slavery was more than 600 years. And that was the Babylonians.
I'm Irish and Cherokee, dude, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, we can go into who lost the homeland. Okay. It's like, do we have to go there, dude?
You know, or you can come and you can have a good time and you can meet people and talk to people, find out what they're like, why they're like that, why they feel they might be a vampire or a Therian or an otherkin.
Right.
Come meet the people. Come talk to them. Come see they ain't these squirrely little fucks that you think you've seen on TV from Jerry Springer or wherever.
2020. No, I just went there, didn't I? I'm
yes,
sorry,
did,
I just
Arthur.
Went there, didn't I? I'm not
hey,
talking about,
you,
about Nightline.
You,
that one Nightline.
Went to the 2020.
I still call Crackzilla Crackzilla. Sorry. I mean, she's a real nice person and everything, but when you showed all your freaking brown, broken, nasty teeth on television,
by the way,
in front of however many, you know, that was
dumb. People, that doesn't do that to your teeth.
It's called not brushing and a lot of drugs.
Yeah. I was actually refer to the Nightline interview that they did with that whole undercover bit of, you know, donors going out and trying to meet with quote unquote vampires and whatnot. And I'm like, oh god, not that shit again.
Oh no.
Yeah. No. But look at it this way. They're always going to be looking for us.
Yep.
Whether we like it or not, folks, that bag sealed itself a long time ago. There is no secrecy. It was the people who were telling us, we got to be secret, who broke that.
Well, I think it was just more of, one, you had certain people wanting to be glory hounds. And then there was the... you know, case
bless
of
you.
Who do you really want trying to represent the community? Every other dipshit out there who really can't string together a sentence, or somebody who at least is well spoken a little bit.
I'm not doing this because
it's the people who have brain damage that don't have a way of learning other languages because they're brain damaged. Mm-hmm. If they want to write rules and they want you to follow them, even if they rip them off from a role playing game. That's a whole different other thing on top of it.
Well,
give props where it was.
Right.
In all honesty, there were groups out there for a long time.
Right.
My original group was called the Shadows Council, and according to their logs, they formed in the 30s.
Right.
You know, and there were groups that formed in the 60s. So
right.
There were vampires out there.
Oh, they've been out there for...
But Todd did an amazing thing
by
bringing it out in the open enough that we could gather.
Mm-hmm.
That we could gather without fear of persecution or fear of being treated different. Yay, it came in the guise of a ball. Whoopee.
Yeah.
Give the man credit where he's due, and I'm tired of all the changing rules and all the changing wording and all the changing that he does with every book he puts out, but...
Which nobody pays attention
credit.
To these days. I mean, they might read the...
Credit.
Yeah. I mean, I do give him credit, at least on that end, at least for New York.
He gave us away, and his ball wasn't the first.
Right.
Just throwing it out there. I mean, Patrick was doing the Dracula's ball for, what is it? It's the 22nd year this year?
Right.
23rd? So Pennsylvania was doing their vampire ball a long time before.
Right.
So, you know, everybody technically is standing on the shoulders of somebody who came before them. Give credit where credit is due.
Right.
But you know what? Don't expect me to sit there, because what a lot of the New York community forget is that in the 90s, I went up to New York.
Right.
I was brought up to New York with a group of people as one of the elders from the North Carolina community.
Mm.
Even though I didn't consider myself an elder back then.
Right.
All right. I was brought up as one of the community elders. We went to the parties. We were treated like absolute dog shit because we wouldn't bow, scrape, and kiss the rings of the people who were supposedly the prince of the area.
Oh, Lord, I know a prince.
Yeah,
I hate that
bullshit.
You know what? They can't tell me that there was courtesy given. And they can't tell me that it was a chivalrous time. They can kiss my ass because I remember how I was treated. I was treated less than nothing. I was treated as if I was an invader in their territory instead of a respected person trying to come and pay my respects.
Yeah.
So you know what? I don't have anything for all these people who are trying to go back to this quote-unquote, well, we used to treat people this way. No, we didn't.
Well, that's used to.
No.
Trust me, even people like me are sick of it. I've had people who, you know, I've gone out somewhere, oh, my lady, trying to get on her knees. I'm like, get off your knees, man. I ain't the Pope. I was like, we don't need all that. Come on, get up. But just stand up and just talk to me as a person, and let's go from there. You know?
People
as long as you're polite.
People meet me. And I'm like, and they'll call me Lord Tsar. I'm like, what? Huh? When did that frickin' happen?
I never call anybody by that.
You know, I don't stand on ceremony. Don't come in and don't come into the shop and expect me to get all thee and thou on somebody because you come into my shop. I'm gonna treat you just like I treat anybody else, just like I expect to be treated.
Exactly.
You want to be treated with respect. I want to be treated with respect. So when you come to my shop, when you come to Voodoo Authentica and you see me, I treat you with dignity and respect. I don't care who you are. I don't care if we've had a full out-and-out throwdown in the middle of the road, beat each other's ass, bloody fight. You come to my shop, I'm going to treat you with the same dignity and respect I would treat anybody else.
Right.
That's just the way I am. That's the way I've always been.
Right.
To hell with the stupid shit. You want to come see me? Come see me. I'm either at Voodoo Authentica or I'm in Jackson Square somewhere. I've made it purposely known. This is where I am. You want to find me? The easiest place to find me? There.
So what's the story on the tarot readers in Jackson Square? The last time you were on, you were talking about them having some trouble and this, that, and the other. How'd that all work out?
Well, we still have a little bit of trouble. However, we got a good group of people that are not only musicians and artists, but also tarot readers that are meeting with the city on a regular basis. So the city has actually sat down with us to hear our complaints, and, you know, now a certain police officer who said he can do anything he wanted to me because I was gay, and anything he wanted to me because I was a tarot reader and not a Christian, and anything he wanted. So he no longer says anything to me anymore.
He got
suspended for about a month.
Well,
and he no longer says anything to me anymore.
Well, you know, that's if you're going to be a police officer, you know, in general, come on, you put your bullshit behind you and do your job without, you know, being an asshole about it.
I know,
but,
I know a lot of, understand, I've worked with a lot of Christian police officers. But this one, because he's a ordained minister, has decided to make his police work his ministry instead of following the rules of being a policeman.
Right. Well,
so
why
if
does
you're
he
gay
become a chaplain
or you're a pagan or you're something that he considers unholy, he treats you like shit.
Right. Yeah, it's, I guess they didn't explain to him that constitutional rights kind of extend to a lot of people, even the ones you don't like.
And also, too, he's forgetting if he's a true Christian, you don't treat people like that anyway. I have to stick up for the Christian people because, you know, I get up on the soap opera about that. Everybody tends to lump us into one group, but I've got news for you right now. When, you know, whatever religion, part of the Christianity that you follow, Jesus hung around with the worst people in the world. I just love it when Christians use God as a name to snub somebody. It just burns me up. It's not what it is.
Well, like I say on my Facebook, I've got really good examples of what it means to be Christian. I've got ministers and preachers. I've got televangelists and more in my family.
Right.
I've got really good examples of what it's like to be Christian. So
when I
see somebody like Pat Robertson open his stupid shit mouth.
Oh, God.
One of these other people like Fred Phelps, when I see these people open their mouths, I'm quick to say, you know, that's not a Christian. That is not a Christian.
You know, Uncle, I will say Pat Robertson, or as I call him, Uncle Pat. He's not related to me in any ways. But the funniest thing about him, as much as he doesn't like pagans and feminists and the whole nine yards, within spitting distance of his nice little 700 club compound is one of the biggest Wiccan pagan communities in the South.
Right across the street from Fred Phelps is the Equality House.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you might hate us, dude, but we're also one of the biggest communities here. The cops know us and leave us alone and kind of go, okay, yeah, we're not worried about you people. So,
well, here's another thing. If you're so freaking Christian, why aren't you down here in New Orleans feeding people?
Exactly. And
why
I had a fun time
in the Appalachians feeding people.
Right.
Yep.
Why aren't
there's
you
people
anywhere
there,
else feeding
people? That's because
people.
The real Christians are out there somewhere else feeding people.
Yeah. I mean, I know that Pat Robertson.
The guy who's being the mouth and making the money.
Trying to do it. Well,
I'm going to say it this way. A crystal cathedral sounds pretty expensive to me.
Uh-huh. And here's the thing that gets me. They build these big, huge, you know, big mega churches, and I'm like, okay, well, where's your program, you know, your food pantry and this, that, and the other? Oh, we don't do that. Let me get this straight. You spend all your money on this, but you don't have a food pantry, or maybe, you know, with all your members, you can't get a doctor or two to want to come in maybe once or twice a month, or a dentist and try to help out people who can't afford medical care. You guys got all that, but you don't do this. Does that make sense? You know,
Or here's a good one for you. Stop blaming natural weather patterns on queers. I wish we could suck that well. Come on.
That was good.
Oh, shit.
If I could suck so well that it caused the earth to quake, my men wouldn't leave.
Oh, my God,
no,
Lord. If you can do that, we're going to hire you out anyway, honey.
Trust me,
never had any complaints.
I am not saying anything, Zara. Taking a fifth.
Oh, man. The straightforward fact,
going back to everything, is pagan groups are out there being more Christian than Christian.
That's true.
Vampire
That's true.
Groups are out
true.
There being more Christian than the Christians.
I'm going to give you an example, Czar. My group, you know, you're supposed to go and spread the word and stuff, and people give Jehovah Witnesses a hard time.
Okay. Sorry. We got a little overfeed there, you know. But, no, I still think it's kind of funny that I had run into a lady up here who I was mentioning, you know, certain groups out here doing a few things, and she just kind of got very indignant. I'm a good Christian lady. I don't associate with them. And I just looked at her and I said, really? Who did Jesus hang out with?
There you go, Darcy, exactly.
She starts talking about
these
apostles.
Here's one for you.
I said, well, hold on, lady. Well, who exactly did, what kind of people were they? And she starts doing, I said, okay, he was hanging out with fishermen, he was hanging out with tax collectors, and let's face it, we still hate the tax man. You know, all sorts of different people. These were not people who are well-liked in society. I don't think Jesus, if he was around today, is going to be hanging out with a nice churchy crowd, do you?
No, he's not.
Well, he had a harlot
following him around.
Yeah.
Mary Magdalene was a slut. She was a prostitute.
Czar, don't talk about my ancestors like that. No, I'm kidding.
Honestly speaking, Mary Magdalene was a prostitute.
Yep.
She hung around them.
Yeah.
Come on. Get real. You know, God was a friend of the sinner. Jesus was a friend of the sinner. He didn't come down to save the people that were already saved. He came down to save people who needed it.
There you go. Exactly, Czar. You get it. That's exactly it. The ones who
And when
yeah.
people called him the Son of God, he said, we're all children of God.
Yep.
Right.
So, you know, some of these, one of these, came off their high horse for all I care.
Yeah,
I'm going to continue to do the good work that I do. I'm going to continue to do the things that I do because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
I'm not doing it for any kind of glory. I'm not doing it for any kind of publicity. I'm doing it because it's the right thing to do. There are hungry kids.
Right.
Last year we fed 160 people.
Right.
38 of them were children under the age of 10.
Right. You know, it's just sad that you got that many hungry kids running around, you know? And, I mean, it's not just, I mean, there. It's not just in urban areas either. I love it when people just want to sit there and portray hunger and homelessness as being something that's an urban phenomenon. No, trust me. I've been out here in the Appalachians where you still have towns that have no running water. You still have places where if you, you know, want to get some hot water, you got to go out to the pump, boil it in the whole nine yards in a shack pretty much. You still got outhouses in some places out here. And you've got kids who are, you know, mom, you know, husband died years ago in some mining accident. You're lucky if you get any money from the mining, you know, from the mine. And she's out here working, you know, as much as she can, but, you know, rent money eats up a big chunk of that. What's left for food? And these poor kids ain't eating a half-decent meal in forever. You know? I go out there, and I'm like, well, hell with this. I'm going to a grocery store, come back, fix up a big old thing of jambalaya, and these kids never ate so good in years. And I'm just like, come on. Y'all are getting something to eat. And I ain't leaving without feeding you. Because that's just how I was raised. It's just the one thing we do down here. When times are good, we cook. When times are bad, we bake. So, you know, we're going to work something out, and you're going, you know, I ain't walking out of there leaving three or four kids hungry. And because this woman had a job and had, you know, somebody coming in, she didn't qualify for food stamps. And I was like, are you kidding me? Because she makes $5 over that. Everything's getting eaten up by rent, and she doesn't qualify for food stamps. And that because
I got
turned down
for food stamps one time because I made $1.75 more than what they said.
Yeah.
$1.75. And I was living in my car underneath a bridge.
Jeez. You gotta love it.
You know? Bureaucracy. I love it.
Yeah, and you know, trying to at least the nearest food bank for this one town was like at least over 20 miles away. And I'm like, what about the churches around here? Anybody doing anything with that? And everybody was so broke, you know, everybody was pretty much in the same boat, even with the church. I mean, you know, the church would have loved to set up a food pantry, but with everybody being in the same boat, you know, what are you going to do? You know, I said, well, there's got to be, you know, something somebody can do, at least around here. And sure, somebody's got
I actually lived in a town where it was like that. And
yeah.
What happened was a couple of the churches got together and they did these big church social dinners where everybody
right.
brought a little something.
Yeah,
you
right.
know,
I've
if
done
all you
that.
Could afford,
We've done
if
that.
All you could afford, if all you could afford was some flour, somebody else might could afford some eggs. Somebody else
and
might could afford some
this.
Salt. And then you'd have noodles. Somebody would be rolling
right.
out noodles. You know?
Yep.
This is where we need to head back to, where people
right.
aren't afraid to pull together and do stuff.
Yeah.
There's a. I know that there's a couple of them up here that started doing. There's like one church up here that does a free yard sale. Everything there, it's all donated. Everything's free. You need a dresser, come get it. You need some clothes, come get them. You know, and if
yeah.
you have anybody you want to donate for it, fine. But if all you got is 50 cents and you need a new warm jacket for the wintertime, there you go. And
we had a church down here do a trade. You know,
right.
if you had old stuff you wanted to get rid of, old clothes that were still kind of good that somebody else could wear, and you needed this, you could come in and trade.
Right.
I'd like to see churches do that again. I'd love to see the old church social get back together.
Right.
I'd love
to
see that.
I know there's one up the street that for a while was doing once a month. It was they'd do a free dinner. You don't have to be a member of the church or anything. It's just, hey, if you're hungry, come in. You know?
Yeah.
Just come on in and join us, you know? Just, you know, if you're hungry, here you go. You know?
Where
I know that
where my uncles and aunts live in Indiana, there's still churches that do like a once a month chicken noodle dinner where they'll make
right.
homemade chicken and noodles and anybody who's hungry can come in and eat.
Hell yeah.
You know,
homemade chicken and dumplings,
man.
There you go.
Indiana.
Right. Hey, you know, there's just so many people out here just especially out of work, and then now with the government shutdown, I mean, everybody thinks, oh, government jobs are so cushy. I know plenty of people working for government jobs work paycheck to paycheck, and they're hurting right
yep.
now. A lot of the food banks,
yep.
especially you know out here in Virginia because there's so many bases, a lot of those food banks are getting run on stuff right now. So,
yep.
I mean, people are just really having rough times. Let's hope things can change soon. But anyways, we're getting right up here around 1 o'clock in the morning. I know, Zara, you had those the book. I figure we go ahead and bring that up again and Cirque du Nuit and everything else for everybody who joined us a little late. So I'm going to let you
but
go ahead and go
with that. Sheltering Oak is the book. It's a book of protection spells, shielding techniques, and magical wards.
And they can get that from Amazon?
You can get it from Amazon.com or Dark Moon Press.
Awesome. And go ahead and tell them a little bit about Cirque du Nuit.
Cirque du Nuit is a New Orleans Vampire Association fundraiser for our charity organization so that we can do things like feed people at Thanksgiving and Christmas. And we're actually working towards the ultimate goal of creating our own homeless shelter.
Awesome.
We have
so,
different things going on for Cirque du Nuit. We have a brunch on Thursday the 24th. The 25th, the Esoteric Gateway Order has Siren Shadow Ball. The 26th is Cirque du Nuit Ball. The 27th
awesome.
Is our brunch.
Awesome. And, hey, from what I hear, the brunches and the breakfast are pretty good. So
yeah.
that's
oh,
definitely worth checking out.
Nice.
It was
okay,
phenomenal. I loved it.
So, anyways, go and check out CirqueDuNuit.org and go check that out if you're going to be down in New Orleans around Halloween anyways. And there's also Endless Night going on as well. So there is a ton of stuff going on in New
and
Orleans for Halloween.
If you're not going to be down and you still would like to help, you can go to the New Orleans Vampire Association.com and donate.
There
okay.
you go.
Now I have a question.
Yeah.
If somebody wanted to donate, is there? Are you guys have tax exempt status or anything like that?
We are state recognized right at the moment. We're still waiting on our federal
federal paperwork to return, which may be delayed now.
but we are we are state recognized as a charity, so that does give some tax breaks.
Okay, so in case anybody's interested, you might get a couple tax breaks if you donate to NOVA. Anything else going on? Hey, you still there, or did you disappear on me?
I'm still here. I'm just having some minor technical difficulties with the soundboards and stuff. It's not it's not showing anything, not even the time or date. But I checked, and we're still up sound wise. We're still broadcasting.
Yep.
Yeah, I can still hear everything, so apparently everybody else can, too. So it's getting around 1 o'clock, so I think we need to go ahead and get ready to shut down and everything. Zara, I want to say it was lovely having you on, hon. Feel free to give us a call back anytime you want to join us.
Well, now I actually have it saved in my phone. I can do something about that.
Yeah. Hey.
And some of us will see you in a couple of weeks.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
So the
and
other
then,
thing we're going to point out here for people is also for those people who didn't catch the websites again, you can go and download this. If you came in late, you can download this after the show's over. It'll be in the archive at liveparanormal.com. Just go in, sign up, and follow the links, and you can find it there. You can find other shows that we've done. If you want to go and check out the event that we've been talking about periodically in between all our other stuff, you can www.circuitunui.org. So that's CIRQUEDUNUIT.org. That's O-R-G for people who don't know what I'm saying. And we also one of the other NOVA events out there that you want to check out is going to be www.sirenshadowgala.com. That's SIRENSHADOWGALA.com.
And if worst comes
like
to worst, we'll post those links on the Raven's Nest Vampire Radio page over on Facebook. So you can come look
They already are posted on they already are posted on there. Don't forget to like us when you go.
Okay.
Don't forget to also let go and like other things and pass it around to your friends. Unlike the other event that's going on that night, which is Endless Night, these events benefit the local vampires and the homeless people. So unless Toad's gonna send you guys, a little tip for him being in your town, which I doubt it. I'll make the suggestion. He should make a big note that he's donating some proceeds from the Endless Night, which he's makes apparently enough money for. Whatever to go on to you guys. He should pay rent, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh.
But we are down in the 92nd round. And
as far as I'm concerned, anybody who goes to his event, have fun.
Right.
Enjoy yourself. Don't get caught up in the politics. It's a
Amen.
Time of fun.
Right. That's what it's about.
Technically, there shouldn't be any politics at any of these events because they should all be considered haven. But
either way,
who knows?
Just go there, have a good time, hold your head up high, and to the haters, fuck them.
There you go, Darcy.
Hey,
haters are welcome.
I got another lovely one for that one.
I'll kiss your ring, but you're gonna have to kiss my boot.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I would have told you to kiss something else, but that's just me.
stop, Darcy. That's the same thing I was thinking. And they may enjoy it.
Don't it make my brown eye bloom.
Oh, no. Sorry, the wife's kicking
in. Now we'll leave on that lovely note. somebody gets in trouble.
And the Cirque du Nuit is also on October 24th. I don't know if anybody ever, we were talking about this. It's October 24th at noon until October 27th. At 8 p.m.
Right.
So is that a nonstop party?
No, that's not a nonstop party. That's the headquarters where we'll have everything from book signings to panels, including the Meet the Elders. So
sounds like fun.
And the Siren Shadow Gala is on the 25th, and the 24th is the wine tasting.
Right.
So anybody has questions about this stuff like that, you heard it, you can go down to search up in Raven's Nest Vampire Radio on Facebook. All the links are there on our page. And like I said, like us.
and go like these other people's stuff. If you don't like us, that's too bad. Anyhow, I'm going to try to figure, I guess the only way I'm going to be able to end the show is if I hang up, I don't know, or do something with the button. So I'm going to push buttons on my phone.
Later, guys. Okay. I'm hanging up now.
Catch you all later, man.
So everybody, nice. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for listening. Same bad time, same bad channel. You know, we'll be here next week and the week after that until somebody dies or whatever.
Oh, God.
Even then, somebody else will rise up
and we'll
after
come
us
back
and be there.
Ghost. Zara and Darcy can still talk to us.
Yep, that's right. And as I see, there doesn't appear to be a button that I can hang up on the left that's lit up like normal. I'm going to mess with the phone. So everybody, hang up your phones and hang up your stuff, because
nah.
I'm sure if there's nobody online and nobody on the thing, this will actually be over. So good night. Thanks for calling in, Dwar. Hope this gets the events going on. I did post some links in other places while we guys were talking and stuff, being useful. Anyhow, that's it. Bye-bye. No outro music. Wait a minute. You know what? I could probably get away with making some noise here.
You know, I still hear you.
Yeah, that's because you didn't hang up.
Oh, I'm trying to, damn it.
How is it to try to hang up? You push the end button.
Stop. It didn't work, D. Now we'll try. Bye. Nope.
Bye-bye. What the hell happened to this thing? I'm talking because, you know, if you're listening to this thing and you have, like, dead air and whatnot like that, it's just going to be that worse while I'm trying to figure out how I get to hang up this thing. Something's definitely wrong with the Blog Talk. It's just up there and whatnot, showing that there's no button. I try pushing some buttons on my phone. I'm going to keep trying. And I will let everybody know here. This is something I found very interesting, since I was thinking about, you know, the New Orleans thing and whatnot, and I was saying, you know, there is over 300 versions of House of the Rising Sun, and they're like every kind. So with this one, I'm gonna be messing with this, but I'm going to start playing this a little loud for a little outro music at the same time.
Thank you.
Thank you.